From the 45, first down, shotgun, good blitz pickup, and Prescott down the left side to Lamb, broke the tackle. 35, outruns three men into the end zone. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
Good morning, Metroplex. With that, we start the Friday edition of Sean and RJ live on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully you did not change the radio dial from all the coverage yesterday with the pregame, the play-by-play, and the post on DFW Sports Station. Nice way to go ahead and start the weekend. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell, along with Peyton Russell. And we're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It was not pretty. It was not convincing, but it keeps the heat off for another 10 days before the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cowboys win in Jersey.
It keeps the heat off. That's the best you can say about it. This was actually, like, if you really want true change or whatever, or if you really wanted to come away with this feeling good, this was the worst of the possible scenarios. They win, and they look wildly unimpressive doing it. You know, you'd much rather them blow them out or get beat, and then now it's like, okay, now we're going to see some final change around here, right? But you win, and like you said, heat's off.
For 10 days.
I don't need
the change. Change doesn't have to happen after week three, after week four. It's not like Mike Zimmer getting promoted is going to do anything.
Oh, better not be him.
For this football team in the postseason. But, Bobby, they have to be breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief.
Yeah, all better. It's all better now. They won, and winning cures all. No. I shouldn't say winning cures all, because as I've heard routinely from Mike McCarthy over the years, the biggest challenge is handling success. So now that they've got some success, this will be the toughest thing for them to handle. There was a lot yesterday that was good. There was a lot yesterday that was, I think, improvement that's sustainable. It's not stuff that's just, you know, a one-off or, oh, you're just facing the Giants. I know there were a lot of pessimistic takes out there that was like, you're just facing the Giants. There was a lot of it yesterday that was good. But there's still a lot of it that looked remarkably similar. And there are still a number of problems that just winning this game and winning the game the way they did is not enough to say, well, that's the cure. There you go. That covers over what the issues have been.
Look, it was uninspiring. It was ugly. It's not going to convince anyone of anything. It's just, it gets you to the next week. That's all it did. And it is going to back us off a little bit with all the criticism and going after Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy, I think. Star up, star down is coming up at 6:20 for your Cowboys report card. Now, a couple people are asking me, who are you rooting for? Because we did not talk about this yesterday. So I had decided I was going to go into this undecided. And if the Cowboys, you know how your team sometimes just makes you, they play in a way that makes you like sick and disgusted. It makes you hate them during the game. If that was happening during the course of the game, like with the first half, I was going to root for the Cowboys to lose. Yesterday, it wasn't until like the 4-minute mark, and I don't know whether I'm just recovering from the sickness or the game was so damn boring, and I was texting the guys, and I was like, I don't know what to feel here. But then at the end, with 3 minutes left, I was like, all right, I want the Cowboys to go ahead and get this win. They didn't play bad enough or sickening enough to turn me against them and have me ticked off over their performance. So in the end, I was happy that they got the W, but I was going in undecided because if this was going to be 30-10, I feel like I was going to be okay if it was the New York Giants on the winning end of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, the idea is, like we were talking about it a little bit leaving the building yesterday, where it's at some point, like, you got to let your kids fail, like that whole thought process of just they've got to learn from their mistakes or they've got to learn from those sort of things. And so you can't keep catching them and bailing them out. And yesterday I did feel like early on there were definitely points of this where they were getting bailed out on things that they shouldn't have been doing. In the last couple of weeks, they've had some of that happen where they get bailed out or they get a lucky break to where they don't really feel the repercussions of what they are doing or the stuff they're doing that's not sustainable. And so I do cheer for that a little bit because that's the way you learn not to do those things in January against Green Bay. But, I mean, this one, ultimately, I wanted to see them I wanted to see them get more consistent stops on the defensive side. They didn't do that very much, but the run defense, positive, the stuff they can build on, that was good.
I mean, Brian Daboll's a coward, and that certainly helped.
Yeah, he is.
That helped them win this game, because if they go for a couple of those, I mean, let's say they get half of the fourth downs that they decided to kick field goals on, I mean, they might have won this game outright. It's a win. I think that's the best. I don't feel positive about this at all. I'm not sitting here saying, oh man, all the ills are cured. Yeah. This is not that day.
Mike McCarthy sounded pretty satisfied that they at least got some more consistent play over four quarters.
I just think really as a whole, just the whole team. I mean, that's really the first four quarter game we've played. I mean, we're, you know, it was a complimentary football game. You know, I wish we'd have been able to drive the ball more offensively. I just felt like we left our defense out there a bit much. You know, that long swing right before the half, and then, you know, they came right back here in the first drive in the third quarter. So, you know, I thought that was very challenging for our defense and for them to continue to fight. But I think the biggest thing was, you know, we were able to, you know, frankly, I feel like it's the first game I called, for four quarters.
Because you weren't getting your ass blown out. You weren't getting absolutely destroyed because you were playing a crappy football team. Thank goodness for Daniel Jones' arm. You guys are happy about Brian Daboll's decisions. I defended them in my own mind a little bit more than you guys, and I heard Wolchuk in the post game as well, just taking these points. Look, against the Cowboys, go ahead and take your points and just wait for them to crumble and fall. So I was understanding at points why they were kicking field goals and waiting for Dallas to slip up. That was just me. I've seen a lot of instances. We only talk about the cowardly decisions. We never talk about the times where it ends up being right to go ahead and take the points, which I know the numbers would say just don't go ahead and do. But with the fragility of the Dallas Cowboys, I was fine with Daboll from the Giants' point of view saying, keep it close and wait for something. And if Daniel Jones maybe hits a deep ball or two, we're in here talking about the absolute chaos and disaster.
Look, I loathe quoting Steve Palazzo or Sam Monson or any of those guys from PFF, but I'm going to do it because I think I saw this on Twitter last night, and I think it's a good point. I think it summarizes what we saw last night. If Daniel Jones could even get in the vicinity of hitting a deep ball, the Giants win this game. He missed, what, six, like all six he tried? And that was something we talked about yesterday and Wednesday, is that when you watched how the Giants played the first couple weeks, they weren't in sync hitting deep balls at all. I think he was 1 for 9 on stuff in 20 yards in the air to start the season. So they weren't clicking on that front at all. I understand if you want to kick in a lot of instances. The one I don't understand is you come out of the second half, you've kicked 3 field goals in a row, you march down to essentially the 3,
yeah,
have a great drive, yeah, and then you just go, let's settle for another field goal.
You cannot kick unless it's to take the lead with you know, seconds to play. You can't kick the ball from the 3-yard line.
Just go for the throat.
Yep, you can't do that. The other ones I didn't necessarily have a problem with, the one I would have not done, I think it was a 4th and 1. Kicking a 52-yarder with a kicker that just got there, that's a little bit touchy on a 4th and 1. But, I mean, they got the points. But still, it's 4th and 1. You should pick that up.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Dak Prescott after the game, preaching the P word again.
We got to continue to be pros. That's not done. That's not done when you get a win. And that's my point about, we're not going to get overexcited or hopefully the guys don't listen to anything that's being written now, good or bad. It's about focusing on this process. We're able to get a win tonight, puts us at 2-2, going into a long weekend. But we've got to go on the road next week against a good Steelers team, who may be undefeated, right? Who may be undefeated when we play them, right? Yeah, so, it's going to be in a tough environment. I hadn't played there since my rookie year, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's really all that matters, is taking care of our bodies, being smart, healthy this weekend, getting back at it Monday, and being pros. Continue to work, trust the process, trust one another, be accountable, and go and put the best version of ourselves out there next Sunday.
Forget about the game analysis for a second. What was y'all's feeling besides boredom and referee frustration during this of saying, the Giants aren't going to win. The Giants are going to pull this out. Something crazy is going to happen. Or the Cowboys got this. What was your feeling throughout?
I didn't really think that the Giants were gonna win the game.
Me neither.
I'll say this. Daniel Jones didn't play terrible. He couldn't hit a deep ball.
Way too comfortable.
Yeah, he didn't play terrible.
But he was not... Yeah, he was not, like, rattled. And that was, the Cowboys didn't really do anything to make him uncomfortable at all the entire game. So that was a little bit disappointing. But
he played good. The deep ball problem stopped it from being excellent.
Yeah, he played good, but you could see, like, that's, like, kind of, there's, I don't want to say it's a ceiling, but it's a ceiling, right? It's, like, that's kind of what you're going to get. I never thought the Giants were a real threat to win. That's why I was thankful they were taking the points because, like, they did move the ball. Like, they moved the ball way too well.
Yeah, there's, you look at this yesterday, you say yes, you get a victory, that's fine. They went on 5 scoring drives. They scored more often than you did yesterday. The Giants had 6 drives in this game that were 8 plays or more. They didn't have any issue. Like, you talk about, if I tell you they're going to give up 5 scoring drives and have 6 different times where the Giants moved the ball for 8 plays, I think you feel like they probably lost that game. And there's definitely stuff to be concerned with. I don't want to sound like it's all negative because there's a lot that was really good. The run defense played really well overall. Some of the tackling was questionable, but Overshown played his ass off. Mozzie Smith played his ass off. Mozzie Smith wasn't just good in this game. Mozzie Smith was like a legitimately dominant force.
We'll get the star up starting out at 6:20, but the feeling within the game of... You thought New York was going to pull it off or they weren't a real threat?
The first, obviously I picked them going into the game. By the end of the first half, I felt like Dallas is going to be able to score all night if they want. Because they were just moving it so efficiently. The only time I had in the second half feeling like New York was going to win was when they were moving the ball on that first drive out of the second half. And I was like, oh, Daboll's adjusted. He's calling all this stuff that he wasn't doing in the first half. He's taking advantage of the screens. He's getting them in space. And then when he settled for a field goal, it never really felt like it again the rest of the night.
Pepe, did you sleep up here like Bobby Bell and get cat scratch fever?
No, I did not get whatever he got in his eye. We were not bunk buddies, though. He slept in here. I slept down the hall. But, yeah, I was out about 2 a.m. last night.
Oof. Did you hear this first thing when you walked in?
With him?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see him. I was in recording something. I didn't see him when I came in.
He heard me. I said, Ralph.
But yeah, where were you?
I was laying right on this couch.
No. I walked in here?
Oh, no. I'd come out of that studio and you were walking by and we were passing each other.
What did the couch give you?
I don't know. There's pet dander on it or something because my eyes were... they feel all right now, but for the first like 20 minutes I was awake, they were really irritated and wouldn't stop watering.
That's why I told Bobby, you can have that couch.
I did make sure to lay my head on this end because Broadus watched the game all night on this end and I know he was just farting into that cushion for 3 hours, and so I was like, I don't want to sit there.
And then give it up to Amazon Prime star RJ
Choppy. Oh, yes.
You know?
Well done.
Did your phone blow up? Or?
Yeah, so I didn't even notice it when it came on.
It was hard to notice.
It was very hard to notice.
You wonder why, as I've been saying for 5 years, I need to be a TV executive.
Yeah.
You wonder why all these people are getting fired and laid off, and Zach Lowe, which we'll get to later. Yeah. It's because of this.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm just sitting on the couch, and we're finishing up eating, and my computer was open, and you know sometimes like you get text messages will pop up, and Jasmine texted us, Cedric.
So she's Burke.
So she texted and she goes, "Look at you, TV star," and I'm like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh, that's right, they came in." So I rewound because I was watching on Fox. Were you watching on Fox?
I switched over to Fox after the pregame. I didn't realize if Amazon would, or if Fox would run the Amazon pregame. So I wanted to see what they showed from the show. But after trying to rewind and fast forward on Amazon, I was out quick.
Yeah. So I rewound and I was able to catch it. Like Sarah was able to like record it, just quick screen record the thing. I was like, oh, that was quick. Because I heard Bobby's voice.
Yeah.
Bobby's voice came on.
Yeah. My voice, your face. It's like they identified like, brains, sex appeal.
Boardroom styling lounge is what it was. I did the beard lineup right before that.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
Had to be it. Had to be it.
So there it was. TV star RJ Choppy.
I don't like, though, that the portion that they played for me, they misrepresented me because it was like criticizing Dak.
the one.
What did you? I couldn't.
Well, it was two different children. One was like the, it was like the book is out on the Cowboys defense. Then that was it. But then at the very end, it goes Dak has got to play better. And then so I don't like that they. Right. I don't like that they represented me like that.
All right, let's get to your Dallas Cowboys report card from last night. We call it Star Up, Star Down. Brought to you by Crown Royal. Proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL. Your Cowboys report card is next.
Snap back, no pressure, throws it underneath to Neighbors, and a terrific tackle by Overshow. Has him right now at about the 30.
It is time for Star Up, Star Down, as opposed to Star Down, Star Down the past 2 weeks. Here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, it's a Cowboys Friday. It's a victorious one after the 20-15 road win against the New York Giants. And Star Up, Star Down is brought to you by Crown Royal. Proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL, and let's start off with Overshown and this Cowboys run defense. They hold the New York Giants to 26 yards on the night, an average of 1.1 yards per rush.
Yeah, it's really good. It was funny. I was up here, and Walchuk was talking about, man, they've held Devin Singletary to 1.7 yards per carry. Again, he's the efficient one tonight. Like, he's showing more efficiency than the rest of the team is, because it's actually half a yard lower when you look at the entire group. But Overshown absolutely is Star Up. That's somebody who I think that's the way you hope all 53 people generally respond to the losses they've had recently. Like, whenever teams talk about, we're going to come out there locked in, and you know, I think fans anticipate it needs to look like the way Overshown looked last night, where it's, I'm doing everything the right way today, and not just that, I'm coming out with, like, an extra energy.
Yeah.
And, like, you see it on the field, and I'm coming out with intensity, and I'm trying to bring that and match that level with the way that I've talked this week. But
he was flying around.
And the really, as much as a lot of the run defense is played better last night, there were still tackling issues, not with Overshown. Overshown was, it was finish, it was form, it was angles, everything about the way Overshown played I thought was great.
He had 8 tackles, 1 pass defended, and whenever I can hear him speak, I like to.
It was put out there, you know, on a couple networks, couple shows, you know, a couple people that coach from home. but like I say, we see all that, and you know, we humans, but most of all, we grown men and competitors. And when you throw that word around, you know, we don't take that lightly. So this whole week, we've been wanting to come out here and showcase what we're capable of. Now we just got to stack them.
Bad job by me with the setup. That was Overshown responding to talk about hearing the noise of the defense being soft.
Yeah. Maybe Jason Garrett pulled the old Nick Saban and yeah, gave them a little bit of intensity for this one.
I love DeMarvian Overshown. I had a massive problem when I heard this last night.
Because he said, we hear it all?
We see all of it. He said, we see all of it. We
it's
know
just
this
being
is
honest.
I understand that's being honest, and I want them
not
to be.
Not the rest of them who lie about it.
Sure, I want them to be honest. Here's the only issue is that we've talked about this before. It is negligent to tell people when they come to Dallas, block out the noise. Because that's not possible. You can't.
People that coach from home.
You can't do that. You can't tell somebody to block out the noise. That's negligence, because they will hear it. And if you're not equipping them to, like, here's how you deal with it, then they're going to get pulled down by it. That was something that happened a lot of times, I think, to Taco Charlton and Tristan Hill and guys like that.
Classic case of overthinking, Bobby. Do not rob this young man of his genuine character and transform him into your robot.
I don't have a problem
your
with
your robot
it.
Quarterback. You just said you had a massive problem with
no,
it.
No, I have a problem with the general sense that has come out of the locker room this week. That summarizes it. That is not just hearing things. It almost sounds like seeking it out. Like that they've wanted to find out what the narratives have been, and that they're not just hearing it, they're going and finding it. And that's a problem to me.
That is, it's like 3 steps of assumption by you. Like, that I assume that, like, they're going, like, to the blog, into, like, the message boards and Ask Reddit, and they're, like, really, really seeking it out to want to know what people are saying about
when
them.
When you piece together everything Dak had said about, hopefully we're not listening to these things this week, you piece together what Mike has said about specific narratives, like, if you take all of it and summarize with that, you can hear it. That, I think that's a clear picture.
I mean, they're sports fans. They probably watch a lot of the stuff in their downtime.
Human beings.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, I'm sure something like
Tolos,
that.
Tolos, probably.
Yeah, I'm
Brandon
sure.
Brandon Aubrey probably telling everyone what we've been saying.
No doubt.
Big pregame star, Aubrey. Holy crap.
Dude.
By the way, you can't. That's a bad move on Posty's part. You can't have him sign the jersey in a color ink that doesn't show up.
Was it like a gray?
It was black on the blue number. You could barely see it. It needs to be one of those silver ones in that situation. Mm. Bad move on Posty's part.
This is what our show analyzes right
but,
here.
I know, right? Very skinny legs on Post Malone, too.
I have a bad Brandon Aubrey scary note, as one of my best friends apparently lives in the same neighborhood as him. He's a Giants fan, and he said Aubrey was out walking with his wife the other day, and it ran across him while he was out with a walk with his dog to, like, maybe drop the leash.
Oh, my gosh.
For a second. Oh, my gosh. And so if Brandon Aubrey gets bit, if the Giants... This is the type of stuff you get the real truth here on this show. If the Giants are ever good and it's a game that means something,
yeah,
and Brandon Aubrey is out walking the dog, I know who did it. He said I saw Aubrey out walking. I thought for a split second to let my dog attack him.
Gosh,
but the Giants, we want the draft pick. So he kept the dog on the leash.
They wanted to level the play field. Each team shouldn't have a kicker.
Well, it is the Cowboys' best weapon.
Well, till the end,
yeah.
It was the under's best weapon. But let's continue star up, star down.
Okay, so let's see. Let's go star up. You already did the run defense. I will go.
I just did one guy on the run defense, if you want to take it to other people with Overshown.
No. Well, I mean, I had Overshown on there too, but I will do this. Rico. Somebody on this team went for over 4 yards a carry.
Lamb is in a slot on the right this time. Snap to Prescott, looks right, now goes screen left. Dowdle with a block to the 10, to the 5. He's into the end zone, touchdown.
And that was on a pass. So
yeah,
you got Rico coming at you from both angles. But, you know, the running game was not great last night, but it was much, much better than it had been.
80 yards, ended up at 3.5 a carry.
And it did, yeah. And, you know, Rico over 4 a carry. Zeke close to 4 a carry. Not quite, but close. I think this is probably as good as you're going to get from the running game at this point. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I was on with BetMGM tonight, yesterday, Sean.
Wow.
The BetQL Network. And they were asked, just like, what are they ever going to, are they going to do anything with the running game? I'm like, no, man, it's fine. Jared Tolos is fine.
I had Tolos ask me, why is Zeke's numbers, why are his carries declining? Why are his numbers declining?
Because his play is.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a fair question with the way that Jerry hyped it up.
Yeah.
As Jim Brown coming over from New England. Now, you know the real answer, that they saw it declining 2 years ago, and for some reason they decided that he should still be the guy. But how encouraged were you by the running game? I was like, okay, that's better.
Yeah, encouraged to the point of saying...
McCarthy definitely, like Brandon Cooks was the emphasis last week to start off. This seemed to be the emphasis as people were losing their minds over the opening play calls of run, pass to start. Tolos were ticked off over that.
Yeah, that's your nickname for Brian Schottenheimer, R2P2.
R2P2.
And so I liked what I saw because what they showed
what is
on
our, what is
run, pass, punt.
I like what they showed on Thursday because all I need from the running game baseline, just bare minimum in order for it not to affect the passing game, is be enough that the defense is forced to respect what you can do there. Like they're going to have to like commit defenders to it. They can't just go, oh, we can run 5 in the box and stop this run game. That's no problem. Like, you need to at least have that level of it. Last night, they showed at least a run game that defenses have to account like bodies for. And so to me, that as a minimum is there. Zeke, I thought, look, old school Zeke on that first carry when they got the ball back after the fourth down miss, where he got contact at about the 4 yard mark and bowled forward for an extra 4 yards. Dowdle had a couple good runs. CeeDee Lamb leads your team with 3 runs of 10 yards or more this season. The rest of the guys on the team have 1. That's Rico Dowdle in week 1.
Yeah.
So they did some things where I felt like if they needed to really run the ball and they had the ball more, they probably could have had some success on the ground, is what I figured yesterday. Another star up for me, Hunter Lipke.
Yes. Yep.
Holy cow. I don't know if anybody played more efficient than him.
And they're going to run the play, hand it to Lipke, coming left, breaks a tackle across the 40, all the way up to the 45-yard line. You cannot stop Hunter Lipke. You can only hope to contain him.
3rd and 3. 6:26 left in the first quarter. Lipke converts the third down with an 11-yard reception. Keep the drive going.
Third down catch to the fullback.
Rico Dowdle scores a few plays later. Second quarter, right there. You just heard it. Fourth and one, which I still think that is an awful call, regardless of the results. I don't think you go for it on fourth and one on the wrong side of the 40 in a game like that, but it worked out. But Kayvon Thibodeau breaks through the line of scrimmage, makes contact with Lipke behind the line of scrimmage. He shakes the tackle, converts the fourth down. The very next play is the CeeDee Lamb touchdown.
Yep.
Third and one, 3:10 remaining. He gets the fullback dive, converts. They drain two more minutes off the clock to close that game. And he had three tackles on special teams yesterday. That was somebody who...
And the fourth and one clincher, basically.
Yeah, he extended...
Fourth and one.
He extended all of... He extended all your touchdown drives, and he took time off the clock at the most crucial moment. I genuinely don't know if they win the game last night if Hunter Lipke's not there.
Give us his background, a story.
He was a running back at North Dakota State, I think he was at, or one of those Dakota schools, but he was a running back, like a single back. This is the first time he's played fullback in his career. Just kind of a bigger, stronger, classic, like Jerome Bettis, Bam Morris type of runner. But somebody with some receiving ability, and he's had to learn to become like a lead blocker and play that position, but he's transitioned to it well. I think they feel like if they needed to, they could play him in single back and have him run if they needed.
Wow. This was not a flash. This is not just a little charity case. This actually felt legitimate throughout the game for my next startup.
Hand off to Singletary. He's going to be thrown for a loss. Wow. Mazi Smith at the point of attack drove him back.
Did it finally happen? Did Mazi Smith not just flash for a play? He was slamming dudes on the ground. He played with an overshown type intensity. Bobby, what did you see from the big fella finally?
This was the best game he's played in his career by far. We'll go back and watch the tape as we talk about it. And we'll have some post-hut clarity tomorrow maybe, but...
Tomorrow's Saturday.
Or Monday, whatever. but this is throwing me off a big, like, so much. But overall, this was not just somebody who... Mazi Smith played good. This was... No, Mazi Smith was... a force. Mazi Smith was a difference maker. Mazi Smith flashed more at the one technique in this game yesterday than anybody you've had play one technique for you in several years. I don't remember somebody doing that in the run game as consistently as he was. He was bullying John Michael Schmitz, and that's the guy that Paul Schwartz told us yesterday. He's like, that's a work in progress. So I don't want to take anything away from him, though. Unvarnished good news. That is the most positive thing that you got out of yesterday that was like you were not expecting.
Jerry Jones may be glowing about that at 10:30 today with the KNC Masterpiece. Let's take some of your calls. Reaction to the game. How good does it make you feel heading into a weekend? Or, hey, it's a win and the heat is off for 10 days before the Steelers. And Bobby's going to give us the injury updates on Micah and Tank. Next on a Cowboys Friday with Sean and RJ.
Snap is back. Pressure from Lawson. He heaves it down the right side of the field. Double coverage. Tip to the ground. Was it intercepted or caught? Caught on a deflection.
Intercepted.
Oh, no, it was intercepted. Yeah. And by who? Amani Oruwariye.
Star up to that guy. Because that meant that Andrew Booth got benched for the second half of this one. It's a Cowboys Friday heading into the weekend with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Your Cowboy calls right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Mike Zimmer pumping his fist on the sideline as, what does Broadus say they call him, AO or OA?
Oh, yeah, AO. That's what they have to go with because they can't say his name.
Yeah, so. Al Michaels didn't want to say it last night. Either, but AO with the game-clinching interception and the Cowboys escape. Let's hear from you right after we get the injury updates from Bobby on Micah Parsons, Tank Lawrence. I know that Micah got his massage license, apparently, as he immediately started working on Trayvon Diggs' cramp, who needed an IV.
Yeah, and he was also talking post-game about Mazi getting massages this week and how he thinks that was the difference. I don't know. It was a little weird, all the massage talk after the game. DeMarcus Lawrence, foot issue.
If you're thinking what I'm thinking, just don't say it.
I was thinking a lot of things. DeMarcus Lawrence, foot issue, said he's in pain, but he's going to be fine. Micah was limping around. He was seen icing his ankle when people got in there. When he talked to reporters afterwards, he said x-rays were negative. He has an MRI scheduled for today, and he said he's going to try to play next week.
Yeah, when he was carted off, I didn't have my same freak out when someone typically gets carted off.
It's like a bad thing. It's like a,
over, done with. And I would have sworn the tank was going to go back in the game. He was standing up. He seemed like kind of be working himself back into, you know, getting back out there. And I heard Broda say, I hope that is not the foot, because we thought it was an ankle. He was talking about Liz Frank and getting it taped up. Over there on the sideline.
Yeah, and Lawrence has had problems before. Like, he's had a history of foot injuries before that would give you some concern if he was dealing with that again. And that may have just been the way they were playing, is they were like, let's not risk anything here. Let's, you know, just have you take, especially with the surface the way it was. That surface was clearly slick for them yesterday, and I wonder if it was just, we don't want to risk anything of you going out here and making this work.
Is that field ever good?
Was that Booth's problem? He was skating.
Yeah. I think Booth's just bad.
Booth was Booth's problem.
But that field is never
a good field. Everybody complains about MetLife.
All right, let's get to the Tolos to celebrate or pick apart a Cowboys victory over the Giants. Barrington, start us off. You are live on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As of last night, I am unimpressed. I don't know if, you know, typically Thursday night football is some of the worst football you have of the week.
Yep.
And I just felt like we fell underneath that same vein. Mozzie, congratulations. Welcome to the NFL. You've been doing what they drafted you in the first round. But I am seriously unimpressed, and it showed me how much of a bad football team we really are this year. Thanks for taking my call.
Nothing to argue with. Nothing to argue with whatsoever.
You know, that may be
now, Choppy, you normally come in here over the years and say, don't apologize for road wins.
I don't style point him.
Style point him. You take it, but I'm not getting that tone from you today.
I was just bored with the game. I think to me, this was more about Thursday night football than anything. Like, this was just a...
I think it's more about the two teams.
Well,
but it could be. It could be Thursday
I think Mozzie's was Thursday night football. Because Mozzie gives such low effort on Sundays that he was already fresh and rested and ready to go. And now he was playing against a team that, you know, was coming in with half their energy. Your tank is on E. They needed somebody. What's the Fortnite phrase, Peyton, where you got to give somebody the juice and help them out? And,
yeah, I don't know. You got to heal him, man. You got to heal him.
Yeah, you got to heal him. That's what it is.
Ivan in Las Colinas, you're up next. Ivan, you are live on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. A win is a win, but honestly, I was not smiling nor celebrating whenever the clock hit zero last night. You know, this defense is still giving up plays, and it's pretty bad when you're giving up almost 300 passing yards to Daniel Jones. And, you know, Malik Nabers, you know, he's really good. I was expecting to get over 100 yards, but still there's almost 200 yards unaccounted for to pretty much nobody's, in my opinion. At least the run game wasn't there. I mean, honestly, watching the Giants' run game was like watching the Cowboys' run game the last two games. Yeah. And I do agree with RJ Choppy that the run game is better between the last two games, but I think it could still be better just because they're not giving enough attempts to Rico. But yeah, still not happy with this at all.
Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, I'm waiting for the pep talk. I'm waiting for the Mickey Spagnuolo pep talk from one of the callers here of, you know, the Jerry Jones. Maybe with KNC pep talk today. Someone tweeted me and said, Jerry's not going to spin this right. I was like, have you ever heard of Jerry Jones? He's going to talk about run defense, resolve, and a road win in the division. Jason in Dallas. Jason, you're live on Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got two things. One, run defense looked a lot better. Two, I got a question for Bobby. What's making this offense so?
Ooh, what's it? Repeat it. You dropped out. What's making the offense what?
What's making this offense so stale in the second half? It's like they just stay in the locker room.
It's interesting. We were watching this yesterday. We're trying to figure it out here because the concepts that they came out with were much more aggressive and the route combinations looked like they were trying to do different things in this game than they had been the first three. Then they came out in the second half, and everything from the very first drive was super conservative for the entire second half. And I don't know what shifted there other than the only thing I could come up with is they got into the locker room and they said, they aren't scoring touchdowns today. We're having a lot of issues with penalties. We're not going to throw turnovers on top of that. Let's just play our game, take these incremental profits across the field. Let's play this a little more conservative and just run this out.
The offense is maddening. It's felt like people were like, star up Dak. Dak's playing amazing. Everything is a 3 or 4 yard pass. I'm not insulting Dak. That's what's called.
Yeah.
Everything is painfully short. I'm trying to give an excuse for cover, too high and what the league is doing and all that stuff. CeeDee Lamb, 1 catch for 4 yards in the second half. That's weird. But this offense feels like weeks 1 through 5 last year of coming up short on everything.
There is something to the,
and that one series explained it all to me. I'm sorry, real quick, where it was 3rd and 12.
Oh, that don't get me started.
3rd and 12, and they just settled and seemed totally fine and content with throwing it to Hunter Lepke.
On a 2 yard out.
On a 2 yard out. 3rd and 12. What's going on?
All right, so
you can't play to your defense because your defense has sucked.
Yeah, now I get it. There is a situation that comes into play where you get into the game, you realize the game is a different game than you expected. You change things up, and you just play to win that game, right? You're just trying to get out of there.
Well, let me.
What I mean? We've seen that.
No, we've seen it, but then you have to convince me that you all are fine with 20-15 in the fourth quarter, or what was it, a half? 17. It was 17-12 after three. That's not to me we're fine with this. Let's just be ultra super conservative and safe. If you're up 10 at least, two scores, okay, fine.
That was a little close.
It's a one score. It was a lot closer.
Yeah, it was a little close for comfort.
Yeah, not that they could run out the clock necessarily, but more like it just felt like they thought we can just move the ball in a more conservative manner because the bigger threat here would be giving the Giants a short field.
I don't think they're capable of much more. I think all these are outs. I think these are excuses, not by you guys, but I don't think this is a high-octane, explosive offense. There's a reason. What was the highest score that any of us picked yesterday?
I had 31-21 or something.
Yeah, the rest of us went pretty low because it feels like Brandon Cooks is a total, complete non-factor. I don't know. Bill Belichick, people didn't get the Shaquille O'Neal TNT reference rolling in his grave, or Charles Barkley rolling in his grave that they talk about on the inside. Bill Belichick had to be rolling in his grave last night. That defensive coordinator should be on the hot seat for the Giants that CeeDee Lamb was not doubled every single play. This is force feed Lamb, a little bit of Ferg, or nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. Period.
How do you think he passed yesterday on throws over 20 yards in the air?
Who?
Dak.
Were there throws over 20?
Nope. 0 for 0. The furthest one he threw in the air was 17 yards.
Look, I don't want to start.
Too high, Shell.
I don't want to get into a fight. I don't want to get into a fight because I got that 3rd and 12 to me is very telling. Very telling.
Ooh.
There is not. I don't want to get into a fight though with Bobby.
I'd love to hear it because I think regardless of if it's Dak or anybody, that you would extrapolate anything off a single 3rd and 12.
Yeah, I would, because I don't think there's an elite quarterback in the NFL that on 3rd and 12 would throw a 2 yard out as their primary target.
Was there pressure? Did he misread what was coming? I think they kind of mentioned that on the broadcast.
Typically, if you're throwing something like that, yeah, that's a hot route where it's like there's a diagnosis that says there's something coming here, there's a blitz coming here. So if anything, that's more just read a blitz that didn't come, which is part of what Bowen tries to do, is disguise blitz packages.
Brian in Burleson. Brian, you're up next here on Sean and RJ.
Good morning, gentlemen. I agree all the way around. The game was very meh. But ultimately, what disgusts me is I think the Cowboys were two bad Daniel Jones throws away from losing that game. Mm. So thank you to Daniel Jones for letting us get that dub.
And there were drops. Wandale Robinson had a huge drop. He still could have been running. Slayton had one as well. And the Malik Hooker gamble. Woo! That was dangerous. At the very end, that was really dangerous. Did not ultimately burn them, but yeah, Daniel Jones coming up woefully short I didn't realize he had arm issues out there. Kenneth in Waxahachie. Kenneth, go ahead. You're live on Sean and RJ.
Yeah, the only word I can describe is relieved. I'm relieved they won. I know that's a bad thing. And then Dak was pretty accurate. I mean, he only had 5 incompletions. And what was up with Malik Hooker getting tracked down on that non-fumble fumble by the tight end?
I mean, that was DK Metcalf like. I mean, come on, man, you can't do that. How is he not getting destroyed in the locker room today?
Yeah,
when they get in that film session, I know it's a penalty. It was a penalty anyway, so I mean, they may go past. Who knows? But that is, you can't get chased down by him.
All right, let's continue with some of your calls and get to our star downs. Y'all, we just did an hour of star up and trying to be positive. It was a meh positive here on a Cowboys Friday. Our star downs, your star downs. You can go star up if you want, and we continue with some Cowboy calls with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.